Last week, we started the sermon series of My Big Fat Mouth. You guys remember that? That was something interesting. I've got a lot of comments on it. Believe it or not, some of them good, some of them bad. Considering we just talked about complaining, but yet, you know, it is what it is. So the first week, we talked about judgments and complaints. And today, we're going to talk about something different. We're going to talk about criticism. It's not my favorite to talk about, considering I'm probably the most criticized person that I know. So it's fun. But I want to tell you about the first time I've ever preached. Who was here for the first sermon that I ever preached?
Well, it lasted about 3 minutes.
It was about 5 to 10 minutes, give or take, right? It was, I don't know, it wasn't 3 minutes. That's a little dramatizing, but it was about 10 minutes. But I thought, I typed it up really nice. Like, if you guys look, I type it up, and I make sure it's like 16, you know, it's like 16 so I can see it. That way I'm not like, you know. And I do that, and I did it then, and I do it now. It's something that I just do, and it's nice. I like it. But I wrote like 1,500 words. And when I rehearsed it at home, it was about 25 minutes. And I get up and I talk so fast, it was about 8. I didn't know that I could talk that loud, you know, that fast. It was just like, bleh, you know. But man, the first sermon I ever preached, you talking about the negative comments. Whew. I had somebody, and they're not here. Let's point that out. I'm going to let everybody know. They're not here. They walked out and they're like, you might be good sometime. I'm like, all right. And then I had somebody tell me that, what'd they say? They told me that maybe it would be better if I just sat down. And I'm like, what? And then, oh yeah, they were bad. Like, it was bad. And believe it or not, after the fact, I found out that I do walk around a lot, which I do. I do that. That's the way it is. Ruth told me before that she likes to bow her head and pray, and then when she opens her, you know, when she gets up and she looks, I'm in a different place. I don't. It's just a habit of mine. It's just what I do. But believe it or not, after that, there's been a couple different things. We made a little sign for the back. Ann and Tim made a sign. I think Linda was involved. And it said, smile. And then Lewis, because that was 10 minutes, he made these little signs. We had 15, 10, and 15 minutes that he would hold up so I knew how long I was. See, and that's 20 minutes. Because, of course, you know, everybody complained about the length of it. You know, we have to be in church for 30 minutes. To get the word of God, correct?
Justin,
yes.
Just don't quit your dating.
That's what we get, you know. So today, I want to talk about the one person that's no longer here. One of the people that didn't give me a negative comment. And like it or not, I don't care where you stand in the church, but it was Michael Luke. He sat down and he's like, he just chuckled. I'm like, what? He's like, that was short. He said, but it was sound. He said, it was great. He said, you did really good. You've never talked in front of anybody. I think at that time we had 90 people coming. I've never talked to anybody in that big before. And he told me, he says, it was biblically sound. All right, but when I went home, I still thought about the 10 negative comments that I had. But, you know, it was nice of him to say that. But let's talk about the negative comments and the impact that it has on your life. If someone walked up to you and they gave you a negative comment, that negative comment sticks in your head to the point to where it won't stop. It keeps going and it keeps grinding at you every single day thinking, maybe they're right. By the time you get done thinking about it, you have convinced yourself that you are that negative comment. Let's talk about the last time I preached. So we won't talk about the first time. We had the first time that was 8 minutes. And then I've preached for, you know, it took me a while to get built up to this. But I feel pretty comfortable up here now. Don't. It does in a way. It makes me feel better in a way, but it doesn't. Because, believe it or not, the negative comments keep coming. They don't stop. So today we're going to talk about two types of people. The first one is the fault finder. This is quite honestly the people that we are. You might not sit here and think, oh, I'm not like that. Well, we are, because we find fault in everything. It ain't just people. It isn't just this. You know, I cannot stand going to McDonald's. I don't think I've got a right order at McDonald's. I'd say in a year. But we're all fault finders. You can take a relatively good person, pick them apart, before you ever even learn about them. People don't have a clue who you are. They've never seen you before, but you still pick them apart. I don't like the way that you walk. I don't like the way that you chew. I don't like the jokes that you tell. I don't like the way you dress. I don't like this, that, and the other. But yet, we justify it by saying, well, I know best. And then my favorite is, I'm not judging, I'm just saying. You ever heard that one? I'm not judging you, I'm just saying that this is the way. Well, it's like saying, but. You did a good job, but. What's the but mean? Here we go. Now what? You know, there was a point in time where I was preaching when Michael Luke left and all that, and I was preaching to the point to where I didn't want to stand back there and look at anybody. Yeah, that's bad, right? Because it gets to the point to where they tear you down so much that you ain't the same person until Wednesday. You have to make phone calls on Sunday night just to hope people tell you you did a good job. You might not like the sermon. You might not like the way it goes, but I mean, that's the way it is. Maybe it's because you didn't pay attention to it and you missed the point. Has anybody thought about that? There's a point to every sermon. You ever heard that one person that said, well, on this block, we have, you know, everybody has this kind of person. Oh, we don't have that kind of person. Well, if you say that, maybe it's you. You know, like the stinky guy, you know, like, oh, we don't have anybody that stinks here. Oh, well, that's because it's you. Maybe it's the same way, right? Maybe, hey, we don't have complainers here. It's because it's probably you complaining, right? So, I'm not judging, I'm just saying, can you believe, this is my favorite, I'm going to rant real quick, can you believe the way they raise their kids? Oh, man, they might as well just send them to jail right now, because that's where they're going to end up, right? The car, when you're driving down the road and they cut you off, and on the back of it, they have John 3:16 on it, and the people say, well, yeah, they ain't listening. They ain't listening to what they're preaching, right? Look at the way they're acting. You don't know what they've been through all day. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know what they've been talking about, what's on their mind at that moment. There's a lot of stuff going on in people's lives that we don't know about. Whatever it is, it is so easy to become a fault finder. If you're a fault finder, raise your hand. There's a very few people that are going to go, "Ooh, it's me," right? If you're a fault finder, let me remind you one thing. And I'm not pointing out the people that are here because I really didn't think anybody raised their hand. Because this is exactly what the Pharisees did. You're not only like the Pharisees, but you're actually like the devil. Because one of the names of the devil is the deceiver. He's also the devourer, and he's also the prince of darkness. He's the father of lies. He is also called the accuser. the accuser. Let that one sink in, because that one sunk in when I wrote it. Who accuses people before God day in and day out? Fault finders. What do you do to stop it? You know, the devil, he finds fault. That is exactly what the Pharisees did, and that's what the devil does. And reality is, what a lot of us do and what we don't do is look for hope. The reason is, a lot of times, because when we look for fault, we are full of pride. We think we know what's best. And we also don't want to admit our own problems in our life. Like, I can sit here all day and go, I need to lose weight. But it never happens. I'm still trying to figure that out. We're also insecure about our own problems. So when you criticize somebody, usually it's because there's a little part in you that you have a problem too. But we don't admit that. And the other reason is because we just don't understand. We don't understand what people go through day in, day out, every day, all that. You can criticize a lot about a church. Who has walked into church, to a different church? Let's say you go on vacation or you decide you're going to go to another church this Sunday, whatever, and you go in and go, woo, this is different. Not a big fan of this. My favorite are the people that go to bigger churches, mega churches, come back to this church and go, ha, look at what they're doing. I've had people bring in bulletins and go, well, we ain't doing enough. Look at Second. Look at what they're doing. And I roll it over and I'm like, yeah, well, look at Second's bankroll. Like a church that brings in $200,000 a month, they have no problem spending $100,000. But they want to criticize everything else that we're doing here and we're doing there and everybody else. But that's just not the way that it needs to go. Has anybody ever took their 2-year-old shopping? You know, I have a firm believing that people judge me and criticize me every time I walk into Walmart. I have a bad habit. I do not, like, my 2-year-old pretty much gets what he wants because I'm not dealing with that. I do not like to negotiate with terrorists, so I just give him what he wants. Hey, if we can get all the way to the back of Walmart and get halfway up, give him a $5 toy, and then hurry up and get out the door, life is good. But how many people criticize you for that? I know I get looks. I don't care. You know, through the times, I know me and Bud's had this conversation before because I have cared so much about what people thought and what people thought about the way I preached, the way people do this, do that. Eventually, you stop caring. It's sad to say that. But when people are so negative to you, you tend to just give up and say, I don't really care. You know, this sermon series has been a rough one because it's pointing out people's faults. And that's where people start having problems, is when you start pointing out things that they're doing wrong, things that everybody does wrong. They start getting kind of antsy. They're like, well, why are you preaching about that? Are you preaching to me? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not preaching about this for anybody. I'm just preaching because this is what I feel like God wants me to say. If it affected you, then I guess maybe you needed to hear it. I don't know. But you don't know what you have until you get criticized. This is what we're going to do. We're going to look at Proverbs 21:19. And men, I want to tell you guys that God, I'm reading, this is God's word. Okay? It's not mine. I'll point that out. All right? So if you're here with your wife, just look forward. All right? Kind of tunnel vision. Do not look. Don't nod. Don't tap. Don't amen. Nothing. Just look forward. It says it's better to live alone in the desert than with a quarrelsome and complaining wife. Now, I'm probably going to get criticized over this one, and I don't care. Because if I could insert my own verse in the Bible, it would be, I would rather live with anything in your fingernails than live with a man who constantly hicks at everything you do. Guys, that sermon that I just, that verse that I just read wasn't about women. It was about everyone. That's the way it is. Because we pick and we pick and we criticize and we judgment. We do everything. This goes both ways. I've never met a critical person that I wanted to be like. Anybody? Anybody? Nobody? No, because you don't want to be like them. You look at them and go, wow, they're really bad. So all they do is talk about people. Ooh, they're mean. But yet, deep down, when we leave, we say it too. So I want to ask you really quick, those of you who like to battle criticism, is it worth being a fault finder? Or would you rather be a hope dealer? Now listen, I said hope dealer. Okay? Because what we're doing is we're giving out hope. This is what the scripture says in Romans 15, 13. I want you to listen. Because Paul says, listen to the hope in this. I want you to listen to the hope. He says, may the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace as you trust in him. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Is anybody ever heard? I don't think so. Hold on. Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard Jesus say, I'm sorry, but you don't look like a disciple. Maybe you shouldn't be one. No, but I get criticized for what I wear.
No.
Every Sunday. Every Sunday.
We just like to kid you.
But it's funny that you say that. You just like to kid me. Well, we can go into that too, but that's a whole different sermon series. We'll talk about that next week. But any time that he spoke, any time that he wrote, Paul was a hope dealer. Last time we talked, last Sunday, we talked about him being in prison, but yet he still had the hope for everyone else. I don't know who else could do that. He was the supreme hope dealer. In fact, if you just read some of his writing, I personally like Romans chapter 8, but I want you to listen to the words and just pick out some things. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation for those of you who are in Christ Jesus. He said, the Holy Spirit, he helps you in your weakness. He said, Jesus is making intercessions at the right hand of God, the Father right now. Did everybody get that? That was a lot of hope, right? Do you want to be a fault finder? Or do you want to be more like Paul and be more hopeful? You know, the Pharisees were fault finders. The devil was a fault finder. Jesus was full of hope. That's all he did. He gave hope to everybody. Why do you think Peter denied him? Yeah, that's right. Peter denied Christ in front. How many times?
Three
times. Why?
Because the devil got him.
Do we fault him? Do we blame him for it? Well, why? He denied Jesus. We should be.
We've all done it. No, we know the devil got him.
Exactly. We've all done it. We've all done it. Why do we criticize other people for doing it? Why? That's the big question of the day is why? You know, the Pharisees were the fault finders. Jesus was full of hope. I love the different metaphors of Jesus. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. I'm reading these so that way I don't lose track of where I'm at. He is the good shepherd. He is the door. He is the living vine. He is the gate. He is the King of kings. He is the King of lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Let me tell you, in 1 Timothy calls Jesus this. He calls Jesus our hope. Our hope. Hope. You know, through the years, hope is something that you develop as a Christian. And I'm by far not the youngest person in the room. Well, not the oldest person in the room by no means. I am the youngest. I am the youngest. And I tell you what, I'm a fault finder with the best of them. I can find a fault in my job. I can find a fault in my life. I can find a fault in about anything that you could possibly want to get to find a fault in. I can find it. But until you open Facebook up, you don't know what fault is. They have criticized so much over everything that to the point to where like you don't even want to go in the world. But too many Christians are cowering down and not holding up the hope of Jesus. They're just finding fault in everything else. You know, oh wow, I ran out of notes. When you add the hope into your life, you understand that the love of Jesus comes in. When you add the fault in your life, the devil comes in. But if you guys go back to what I said, I'm not judging, I'm just saying that is an easy way out of the door. You can say all you want, and she's the focal point today. I have no idea why you're the focal. My eyes keep going to you. But
right here.
Yeah. Now it's just scary. But do you understand that if you don't give the hope of Jesus, we aren't spreading anything. We might as well just stop. Because if we just walk around, spread the fault and the negativity and the complaining and all that, we ain't growing anything. Nothing is going to change. You're going to be stuck in the same spot you are, and your growth with Christ will not be there. So the hope is where we need to go. You know, when we were looking for Keith, before we hired Keith, we had quite a few people put their resumes in. There we go. I was going to say applications, but we don't have applications for them. Their resumes in, and they were all decent preachers. Just not a decent preacher for here. You know, I wasn't in charge of that. I wasn't on the pulpit committee. And, you know, I'm okay with that. And I don't really want to be. But when you look at a resume, you pick out things that don't sound just right. And you kind of find their faults in a way. Has anybody ever done that? Like, you pick out their faults. You know, I'm sure that if we look at Keith's resume, you know, we could have found a bunch of faults. I'm sure if we look at, you know, your resume, we could find a bunch of faults. We could look at everybody's life and find all these faults. We can find everything that you've ever done wrong by getting on our phones and making a few phone calls, and I can find a history out on you. And then we can find out, oh, well, this person did something back in 2000. Whoo, man, they're bad. But it's 2020, it's 20 years later. We still going to hold that against them? They still hold the criminal offenses against them, but do we hold everything against them? We have to give them a chance that they've met better themselves. We got to hope that the love of Christ got in them. But deep down, we still find the fault. So today, as we close, I want everyone to remember this all week, because next week's sermon is going to be good. I'm just telling you, it's going to be a good one. But I want you to remember something all week, because I'm going to ask you about it. Is how many times did you find fault this week coming up? What it's going to do is it's going to make you think about when you do it. And you're going to be like, you know, of course you're thinking of me. That's what I really want. But if you really think about it and you calculate how much you find fault, you're going to find out probably 3/4 of your time awake, you're a fault finder. I'm sorry to tell you that it is that way. I'm that way, and I'm not the only one that is like that. But I can tell you right now, at least half of your time you spend blaming and finding fault on everybody else that you're dealing with. You might be going through a hard time, but you still blame it on somebody else. Like, look at me. I'm okay. I did nothing wrong. But so-and-so over here, ooh, you should see what they did. Let me tell you about it. I mean, how many times does that happen? You know, Jesus was hope. We need to be hope. We're supposed to be just like Jesus, but yet we fall short. We know we all fall short. We're not perfect. We're not Jesus. We fall short of the glory of God. That's the point. But our point is to get better as we go on. So as we close, if you want to get better and you have not been baptized, you can come forward. Because that's where it begins. Is with accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today. We come to you with the hope of being just like you. Lord, we know we find faults in everybody. We know that we fall short. And, you know, that's what makes your love so good, is the fact that we can still find hope. We know we need to work on it. We know we need to change things. But that's what you're there for. Your Bible is here for us to learn so we know how to change. Lord, we pray in your name. Amen.